Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September the 18th. We're having a pretty nice day today. It's not warm, but you start getting that feeling that summer is coming to an end. But what happens around here is that summer always has one last farewell, if you will. So we haven't had that yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if sometime, maybe next week or the week after, we have this farewell by summer with, 100-degree temperatures for a couple of days, and then we won't have summer anymore, I guess, until next year. But it's been a pretty typical summer. I wouldn't say it's been more hotter than other years. I think what has made this year so different, of course, is the pandemic has limited so much of our outside activities that a lot of the things that we did at summertime, we're just not doing that. And, one of the things I'm sure that a lot of people like to do is maybe go dancing, go outdoors, and a lot of that has been limited, unfortunately, this year because of the pandemic. We got a couple of stories that I want to talk about today. One is defunding the police and why I think that we're really moving beyond that, but we're going actually into a more dangerous territory, and I'll tell you what I mean in a second. But I want to begin. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning, on Friday morning, where I talk about what I believe, and the pandemic has something to do with this, but this movement was growing. And I'm talking about alternatives to public education, whether it's homeschooling, whether it's other forms of education where parents get together and start a school, or where there's a private school, or teachers are, hired individually, or whatever may be the case. But I think we are seeing a movement away from public education. And as I said, the pandemic has simply, let's say, accelerated the situation. The pandemic has accelerated the situation, and therefore, therefore we're in a situation where people before the pandemic were thinking about it, but now, we see some of the crazy, really, some of the crazy attitudes taken by some of the school districts and some of the teachers' unions. And I think a lot of parents are saying, okay, this is the moment. We're going to take over our kids' education. Now, there's another thing going on, and this is what I mean about the movement had been growing for years. A lot of parents are getting very concerned about what their kids are learning in school. For example, the way history is being taught. There was recently a case that I wrote about a couple of days ago that something like 40% of the American young people in America, the so-called whatever they're called, between 18 and 39, whatever they're called, they didn't know anything about the Holocaust. So here is one of the truly most amazing events of the 20th century, one of the most, let's say, inhumane moments of the 20th century, where you had whatever it was, 6 million Jews were executed. Truly something that when I was growing up and going to school, we certainly knew what it was. We certainly knew or had learned that American troops went into some of these camps, not just American troops, but Allied troops went into some of these camps and liberated them, some of these concentration camps. And now kids don't even know that. They don't even know what the Holocaust is. And why is this happening? It really goes right back to the way history is being taught in our school. There seems to be an anti-West, an anti-American tone to a lot of the way the history is being taught. You had a teacher in New York recently who just decided to print a pamphlet or whatever, telling kids that policemen were the equivalent of the KKK. Well, first of all, this teacher is an ignorant, I cannot say the word, but you know what I mean. The guy's an ignorant fool. To compare the police to the KKK shows me that this guy shouldn't be teaching history. He certainly shouldn't be teaching in our public schools. And more you're seeing examples of that. You're seeing fights, for example, in some districts about going to the bathroom, should boys go to the bathroom, girls' bathroom, and so on. And then you have other fights about, boys playing with girls. And all of this has now risen to the point where a lot of parents are angry about it. They want to do something about it. And here comes the pandemic. And the pandemic has forced a lot of these school districts to take a look at themselves. And in some way, in some cases, you know, they're being shut down for political reasons, in my opinion. So overall, you have a what people call a perfect storm, where I believe you're going to see over the next 10 years more and more alternatives to public education, to the point that we may see some school districts literally disappear or be forced to consolidate with other school districts just to keep it going. Big, big thing I think is happening in front of our eyes in public education with alternatives to public education. This is all happening out there, and it's happening, as I said before, it was coming from a long time before, but the pandemic has sort of, you know, as they say, broken the back of the camel, whatever the expression is. And we're now in, and I think we're beyond the point of no return. We're not going back to the public education of the past. We're gradually moving into another stage of education where I think you're going to see a lot more kids either staying home, homeschooling, or simply attending alternatives to the public education, or even some alternatives to homeschooling, where they, you know, they bring in teachers to the homes, or, you know, a bunch of parents get together and they, you know, communities, you know, whatever, Christian schools. I think religious schools are going to be a big winner out of all of this because they've already got the infrastructure in place. All they need is the students. So I really believe we're at a point where a lot of these things are going to change over the next few years. The pandemic is part of it, but I think there's other things going on behind all of this. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about defunding the police. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Have you been keeping up with Joe Biden? How many positions has he now taken when it comes to fracking? First he was against it. Well, first he was for it, then he was against it. Now it's like he's flipping all over the place with respect to fracking. And frankly, the only reason he is even competitive is because the news media, frankly, is giving him some incredible soft interviews. If you had a chance to watch that travesty at CNN, I mean, that was just a joke. I mean, what kinds of questions is this guy getting? I mean, pretty silly questions when you compare them to President Trump. Well, let's talk a little bit about defunding the police. Obviously, this was a big topic here over the last couple of months or so, but I think we're beyond that right now. In other words, as a political topic, I think this one is pretty much behind us because, politically speaking, President Trump has won this debate in a sense that more and more cities are beginning to realize that defunding the police is a joke because all they're going to end up doing is making their cities more unsafe than they already are. And in fact, most of the cities that have a high crime problem is where you have a lot of these liberal governments, city council members calling for defunding the police. So I think this issue as a political issue, it's kind of behind us because I think a lot more of the liberal mayors are realizing that defunding the police doesn't make any sense. The big problem where I think we're going to, the next big territory that we're going into, is going to be shortages of police officers. I think you're going to see more and more cities, particularly blue cities, particularly these cities run by Democrats, they're going to have a very hard time recruiting police. So you're going to have shortages of police. We had that in Dallas already. In fact, you know, we are short in Dallas when it comes to police officers. You know, we had a certain goal of recruits, and we didn't make it. And I'm sure that's true in other places. And then you hear cities like New York, cities like Minneapolis and Seattle, where police officers are looking for a way to get out. In some cases, they have the opportunity to retire early. That was the case in New York. And more police officers are retiring early. And then you have other ways of, contractually getting out, and police officers are getting out. And the bottom line is that it's going to be very, very difficult for many of these cities, precisely the cities that need police officers. This is the sad part about it here. The cities with more crime, the cities that need more police presence, the cities that need more and more policemen on the streets, those cities are going to have a very hard time finding police officers. And the answer is obvious. Why would anybody want to work in these cities? If you're a white policeman and you have a confrontation with a black citizen and something bad happens, you're automatically branded a racist. The video is shown on TV. Your family has to live with this every day on TV watching the video. Then you have a bunch of, frankly, dishonest politicians who jump on the bandwagon against the police, and you're out there all by yourself. So why would anybody want to do that? Well, nobody will do it, and that's why more and more of these police departments are going to have a very difficult time meeting the recruiting targets. They're just going to, they're going to be short on police officers. And when that happens, well, what happens? What happens next, of course, is that there's not enough men or women to go out there and police the streets. So you have a wave, a crime wave. You have more and more people who are, criminals are out there who can, unfortunately, commit a crime, and they get away with it. What can I say? They get away with it. And that's not good for the citizens. That's not good for the businesses. That creates exactly the kind of chaos that makes it very, very difficult for anybody to open a business, to invest in a business, for people to go out at night. I mean, one of the things that you need security, let's say on Saturday nights when couples go out dancing or they go out to eat, if you want to attract people to come to your downtown area, well, the area has to be safe. It has to be safe of petty criminals and people stealing purses and that kind of thing. Well, that's not going to happen if you don't have police officers. So this is the real problem, I think, for many of these cities, that they're not going to be going into this territory where they're just not going to have enough police officers to do the job. And that's going to have all kinds of unintended consequences, people moving out, businesses moving out, not just the crime, of course, but everything else that comes with it. It's a really bad situation. It's a terrible situation. And it's all the tragedy of all of this is that it's self-inflicted. It did not have to happen. This did not have to happen. You could have had more responsible city leaders who could have supported the police, like in Minneapolis. They should have supported the police right away. They should have said, we're going to look into this case of George Floyd, but we stand with the police, and we're not going to let people riot. Well, they didn't do that. So for a couple of nights, the city was burning, and the same thing happened, of course, in other places. So this is going to get worse before it gets any better. And if you're living in a blue city, in one of these blue cities run by the Democrat Party, I think you're going to find yourself in a very unfortunate and insecure situation in many of these cities. A couple of things on this day in history. 1810, that would make it, 210 years ago, the country of Chile down in South America became independent. Of course, Chile is that country on the Pacific coast. It's a long, long country, but very narrow country, and it's right down the South American west coast. And Chile, of course, has a tremendous history. And here recently, it's been a very prosperous and a very democratic country, and really the envy in many ways of every other Latin American economy when it comes to prosperity and so on. So we salute the people of Chile. They're in many places. There's not a big country. So you don't run into a lot of Chileans, but it is nevertheless a beautiful country, and the people are just absolutely delightful. And on this day in 1960, Fidel Castro went to the United Nations to give a speech. And it became a whole show. He gave a big anti-American speech, and Castro became a big topic of the 1960 elections. And, of course, he became a big problem for then-Senator Kennedy, who became president later in 1960. So Castro at the UN, quite a show, and quite a headache that he became for the next president of the United States. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. And This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.